Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Today we'll be doing The Seven Rays, Part 4. And actually we'll be speaking about Ray 3 today. And when we speak about the rays, it has a lot to do with those qualities in the universe that are unseen, energies, frequencies that affect us. And I think more than ever we're learning that reality, the world, is much more than the five senses. And so these are some qualities within the universe that do have an effect on us. And Alice Bailey is the founder of Lucis Trust, and she's written 24 volumes of books, and all of the dialogue that emanates from the show is based on the works of Alice Bailey. Here's a thought from the works of Alice Bailey. There is one life, which expresses itself primarily through seven basic qualities or aspects, and secondarily through the myriad diversity of forms. These seven radiant qualities are the seven rays. I think before we take a look at Ray 3, I think what we should do is recap what we've learned so far about the rays. Can you do that for us?
Well, we can touch briefly on what we've said so far. The seven rays, as we've mentioned a number of times, are the sevenfold expression of divinity. God is one, but in his manifesting through the world of form, there's a sevenfold expression, and we've talked about how this number is found in numerous depictions in the world, 7 days of the week, the seven major glands, the seven colors of the prism, and so on. God expresses himself in a sevenfold manner, or in seven qualities. And that's an important point, I think, when we talk about the rays, to remember that these are divine qualities, divine emanations. And that should put aside any sense we might have that some rays are more preferable than others. They're mm-hmm. not. They're all divine. The science of the seven rays is so comprehensive and so complex that in these radio programs, we're really just making little stabs here and there at the science, not going into any detail at all. People who find that they're really interested in it need to do a lot of study on their own. What we're trying to do is just give a kind of an introduction and an overview to see if it mm-hmm. elicits people's interest. And I think today people are becoming more and more psychological in their orientation. They want to understand themselves and they want to understand others. And the seven rays are a wonderful way to look at oneself and others, because they approach human beings from the standpoint of their inherent divinity, not their inherent neuroses, mm-hmm. which is so often what psychology does. People are innately divine, even if they don't always behave as if they are. Mm-hmm. And learning to see people in terms of these divine qualities helps to bring out a compassion and an understanding not only for what they are, but for what they are becoming.
Yes, I think that's the important thing to get across about these rays, because they are seven basic expressions of God in the human world, in the world, not only in humanity, but in the other kingdoms as well. And so this is God's way of expressing himself through humanity, by way of these seven emanations, or seven divine energies, you might say. Go ahead.
For example, we were talking about the first ray. God expresses himself through the first ray in humanity through leadership, through the spiritual will, through the capacity to use power and to use power rightly. If you have a government leader, a president or a chairman or whatever, you want that person to use power, but to use it appropriately. And the first ray endows the human being with the capacity to wield spiritual power.
Right. And the second ray quality is the line of the teacher, you might say. A good first-rate teacher might be on that line of energy and expressing that quality, because it's the teaching ray. And it's also the ray in which the Buddha was found. The Buddha and the Christ, they act together as two brothers along the same path of love and wisdom. That is one of the names given to this second ray, of love and wisdom. And so that's why it's along the line that the teaching is found, and it's also the ray of the builder, the building ray. So these are just, as we said, very sketchily, these are just basic qualities that are expressed in the first two rays, and those are the ones that we've covered so far. And so today we're going to pick up on the third ray.
And that's the to continue our discussion, we're talking about the third ray, and that is the ray of active intelligence. And the servers on this ray have a special function at this time in stimulating the intellect of humanity. I would think that would be quite a valuable function, sharpening it and inspiring it, and that thought, once again, comes from the works of Alice Bailey. What can you tell us about the third ray?
Well, let's see. It's the ray of active intelligence, of adaptability. It's also sometimes referred to as the ray of the creative intelligence. The third ray stimulates the principle of intelligence of the mind in the human being. We've talked about will or power, the first ray, love, wisdom, the second ray, and the active intelligence is the third ray. Those three components are the essence of the human being's essential makeup: will, love, and intelligence. We need all three. And you could say that people who are strongly influenced by the third ray are people who are very comfortable with ideas, with philosophy, with the world of thought. Sometimes they tend to be totally caught up in the world of thought and not terribly practical in the sense of actually bringing through any realized plan that they then fulfill. Mm-hmm. But they do have an affinity for ideas, for creating in the mind plans and patterns.
Yes, it's said that the servers, the great beings who serve on this ray, are work by manipulating these ideas. They are very attuned to the intuitive ideas that are existing on the inner planes, and so their job is to adapt them. And that's interestingly enough, that's another part of this ray. It's the ray of active intelligence and adaptability, and I'd like to focus on that, because it's the ability to take an idea and adapt it down to a comprehensive level. Ideas and adapting an idea to the immediate needs, and to verbalize this idea in a way that it becomes part of, say, the new plans or the new direction that it is desired that a person take, or a country, or a group of people, for that matter. And so one example I was thinking of this ray might be having to do with the founding of the United States. Now, founding fathers, they grasped this idea of democracy, and then it was adapted to the particular needs of the time and based on the vision held in the minds of the founders of this country. And then it was adapted into laws and amendments in the Constitution, and which became the basis for our country and for the way of life that we have in this country, and based on law, the rule of law. So that's just one example where I think ideas are stepped down, are adapted for use, and this is the great skillful way of the third ray server.
Another thing you can say about the third ray is that it gives the capacity for what is called the pattern-making mind, the individual who can see the large scheme of things and to see the patterns that relate and integrate various component parts into a whole. That's an effect of the third ray. And we should mention that not all of us have all of these spiritual energies in equal parts. Some of us have an affinity for certain rays more than others. And so when we discuss these rays, we have to realize that we ourselves may not be particularly conditioned by them, but we might be able to see examples in others. For example, the mathematician who can create the formulas for solving highly complex problems is probably working with the energy of the third ray. The architect who can develop the blueprint that integrates a very complex building would be working with the third ray energy. Music also is conditioned by the third ray, as I understand it, because it works with the scale and the notes and creates a wholeness out of component parts.
There's an abstractness about music that is, it invokes the intuitional aspect of a person.
And it's often said, I think, that mathematics and music are very closely related, and people who have the aptitude for one often have the aptitude for the other as well. They're both expressions of the third ray.
Why is it said that the third ray holds the key or the clue to evolution?
That's a statement from the writings of Alice Bailey, and I think it's absolutely fascinating to ponder on. One thought I have is that it has to do with the human being called man being literally one who thinks. The Sanskrit root word of man, manas, means one who thinks. And the human being has a mind. God gave us a mind. Whether or not we use it is up to us. But the human being, because it has a mind, has the capacity to mold and create and adapt the matter or substance of the physical world. That's why humanity has the capacity to make such an impact on our planet more than the other kingdoms, because we have this mind which can be either God-inspired or simply manipulative for selfish ends. I think maybe this is the intention or the real underlying meaning of that passage in Genesis, that man shall have dominion over the earth and all things. Dominion in the sense that man has the power of the mind, which gives him a certain rulership, a certain decisiveness and creativity that affects the animal, vegetable, and mineral kingdoms.
Yes, there's an interesting parallel there, because it having to do with man's relationship or humanity's relationship to the animal kingdom, because it's one of our responsibilities as human beings to use this mind principle to stimulate the very rudimentary mind nature in the animal kingdom, particularly in the domestic animals like dogs and cats and horses that are very on the leading edge, let's say, of the animal kingdom. And they're preparing the animals, these domesticated animals, to be ready to take that next step in evolution. And the mind plays a very important part in that.
Yes, I think we often think of our right role in regard to animals being that of loving them, of being tender and protective of them, and certainly that's a part of humanity's role. But this idea that we're intended to stimulate and awaken their mind is quite fascinating. And we've talked about this in past programs, about the experiments being conducted by scientists who are working with animal communication and so on. That are fascinating. And we can see a lot of different interaction between animals and human beings that is awakening the mind. The discipline that we instill in our pets, our dogs, mm-hmm. when we send them to dog obedience school, that's in effect awakening their mind, and it's part of the evolutionary plan, apparently.
Right. There are many examples of that, and like the lady in California with living with this gorilla, and
Francine Patterson,
yeah,
and the gorilla Coco.
And she's, you know, they actually communicate in many ways now, but is an example of the mind principle. She's applying it and using and stimulating the mind in her gorilla friend.
In the writings of Alice Bailey, though, the effect or the expression of the third ray apparently is mainly through the animal's capacity for adaptability and for instinct. That's the rudimentary expression of the mind, the instinct that you see in an animal.
Yeah, we have these preset notions about animals that, you know, all through my life I've thought, well, an animal can't do this, an animal can't do that. And you've mentioned Coco and how he's actually creating sentences. And also, is there are there any other examples of that? Wasn't it something we were talking about in regard to a bird, a parrot, maybe?
Well, there was an example, yes. I've seen it on television about a parrot that could actually speak sentences.
Well,
and
there you go. That certainly is a breakthrough as far as that's concerned. Apparently, animals can evolve from a point of consciousness also. And if you'd like to explore this topic further, we're speaking about the seven rays. Today we're speaking, this is the Seven Rays Part 4. We're speaking about ray number 3. And as Sarah mentioned before, we're just scratching the surface in this program of the rays. If you'd like to explore the third ray further or any of the ideas that we've talked about in the last few programs in regard to the seven rays, you're certainly welcome to order our books. And although we have 24 volumes of books, all written by Alice Bailey. The literature of Alice Bailey is extremely interesting, profound, and we like to think of it as spiritual philosophy. And, of course, what the seven rays are about is all about who we are, understanding ourselves. And if you'd like to find why we fall into a particular ray and perhaps get into how karma affects us being on a ray or our point in evolution, then why don't you take a look at two of our books that where the rays are focused on, especially, and that's Esoteric Psychology Part 1 and Esoteric Psychology Part 2. And if you'd like to order these books or any of our books, you can certainly do so by giving us a call at 1-866-695-8247. Once again, that's 1-866-695-8247. A lot of people call up and they order a general package of information. People like to know who we are, who is Lucis Trust, how can I get involved, and our most frequent question is Lucis Trust a religion? And I can answer that for you right now. No, we're not a religion. You're welcome to join us, and certainly we welcome you to join regardless of what religion you are. We explore life. Who are we? What are we all about? What is reality? And we attempt to understand our universe and mankind's relationship to it. An easy way of remembering our number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S. And our website is www.lucistrust.org. Our email is newyork@lucistrust.org. And on our website, you can certainly look at our prior library of archived shows, which a lot of people enjoy doing. You can, if you feel that you've missed shows and you want to take a look at them, once again, the website is www.lucistrust.org. And I want to explore this idea of the rays further and see if we can understand it as much as we possibly can. So how does someone conditioned by the third ray develop spiritually?
I think they have the best means to develop their spiritual consciousness through reflection, through deep pondering and philosophical thought on texts that they are studying. They are the kind of people who like to reflect and ponder and ruminate on what they study and take it deeply into their consciousness, and slowly, perhaps more slowly than the souls who are who have an affinity for the ray, the first ray of power, or the ray of love, wisdom, the souls who are conditioned by the third ray probably evolve more slowly, but they do so through mental reflection and pondering.
There's also the factor that we've mentioned this before about all of the rays have what they call vices. There are virtues of each of the rays, and there are vices. In other words, negative qualities that sometimes are expressed. And one of the vices, let's say, of the third ray is excessive busyness, which is the overactive mind that is busy, 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 into everything and everybody's business, trying to organize things, and waste a lot of energy, usually getting nothing much done.
That's a way to not develop spiritually, in other words.
But if now the
spend
point
your
is, if one
in useless ways,
if one can recognize this fault in oneself, and say, I've got to change this. This is not right. I want to move on from this. It becomes very dissatisfied with this way of behaving.
I think it's easier to recognize it in others.
Yeah. Well, that's a first step. Then the others recognize it in you. And then it begins to hit home. So at that point, it's interesting that the Alice Bailey teachings say, this person, in order to advance, what he must do is simply to stand quiet at the center.
Mm-hmm.
Cease from weaving. In other words,
cease from weaving.
Cease from weaving.
Yeah.
Stop all of this busyness and just learn to stand silent.
And focused and still.
And that's when alignment with the soul takes place, when you can learn to stand silently and quietly like a quiet mill pond.
Cultivating the quality of stillness, not only in your life, but in your consciousness.
Right.
Stillness.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have much of that in our society today.
Yeah, it's not simply a matter of just sitting down in a room and being quiet. It's
Mm-mm.
a matter of being a quiet in your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. And quiet in your thoughts. You can sit in a room alone with the television off and not be at all quiet or still,
mm-hmm.
mentally.
Yeah. It's the quiet mind mm-hmm. at all times, and that quiet mind that begins to align with something higher, one's higher spiritual possibilities.
Well, if you think of the quiet mill pond, such a still pond can reflect the sunlight or the clouds or whatever. Well, a mind that is quiet and still can reflect the impression of divinity, of God.
That's right. It takes the quiet mind. It's mm-hmm. the busy mind that is always active and modulating. It's
mm-hmm.
constantly modulating, and nothing of any higher quality or impression can get through.
Producing waves, or skandhas, mm-hmm. as the Hindu texts yeah. call them. We do a lot of skandha producing in our modern way of life. But it also gives us a creativity and a vitality that you see in present-day life. I don't think it's all mm-hmm. Totally wrong, but it needs to be managed and tempered.
What do you mean by skandha producing? What does that mean?
The capacity of the mind to constantly create and bump up against the ripples of its reactions, the reactions of the senses that mm-hmm. perceive and react and create limitations, become fixated on something, resistant to something else. All of that has to stop, and the mind has to become completely still, unattached,
mm-hmm.
detached from everything in the outer world in order to begin to reflect the inner reality.
Oh, another subject, but it's interesting. I would think that what you're saying is that one really has to be at a point of personal evolution to even be ready for some type of consciousness that can deal with meditation even, which is interesting. Why is it important that we have an understanding of the seven rays?
I think self-understanding is important. The Delphic Oracle in ancient Greece said, man, know thyself, and thou shalt know the universe. In self-understanding, we come to understand all selves. You cannot undertake a path of self-awareness without running into yourself coming and going in all your fellow men. And the other factor about the seven rays that I've mentioned is that it helps us to perceive the divine, both within ourselves and within others. So often we look for only the faults or the negativities or the lower expressions of the personality in ourselves and others. This helps us to cultivate a sense of the divinity that dwells within mm-hmm. every human being.
And that's well said. There's a divinity within every human mm-hmm. being then. Okay, good. Can you name some of the examples of the third ray?
Well, that's a tough one. It's kind of speculative, but...
go ahead.
I think I'll take a stab at it. Say someone like Einstein, because as we said, the third ray person has a wide views of all abstract questions, and it's the ray of the abstract mathematician, and certainly that would characterize Einstein. And he had this great capacity to grasp these wide big ideas mm-hmm. and to bring it down
like
into
the theory of relativity.
Yeah, and to bring it down into a formula, mm-hmm. and to reduce it and to synthesize it into a great formula. Mm-hmm. And
another example would be the fellow at Princeton who finally solved, apparently, Fermat's theorem, that mathematical question that goes back hundreds of years that nobody could solve. He finally worked his way through it.
Mm-hmm. And then the great philosophers in the past, you see, and during the Age of Enlightenment in France, we had the great philosophers.
Descartes.
Those would also be along the examples of along the third mm-hmm. ray line, I think.
I think, therefore, I am, mm-hmm. was the conclusion Descartes reached. That's a perfect mm-hmm. example yeah. of the third ray. I think, therefore, I am.
And so I think we can with that, we can think of a lot of other examples.
I have another one on a lower level. I think the game of chess is a good example of the third ray, don't you? For all the strategy, you have to plan ahead, look ahead, foresee possible consequences, see the whole picture, see what your opponent might do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then adapting.
Mm-hmm. Accordingly, right.
Yeah, and adaptation is one of the abilities of the third ray. We have to remember that. So I think that includes a lot of people who have the ability to adapt to new mm-hmm. ideas and bring them into modern life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope everyone's enjoyed the show on the third ray and want to explore it further by reading some of our books about it. But that's about all the time we have for our discussion today. And remember that the work of Lucis Trust, including this program, is funded entirely by voluntary donations. We welcome your support for staying on the radio. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.